Laura Krieger. Laura is with Metairie Indivisible, and Laura helped organize this event today. In fact, I think you did most of the organizing. So I would love to hear more about Indivisible, how y'all got started, what y'all are working on that our listeners might be able to partake in moving forward, and your concerns about the American Health Care Act and what you would like Bill Cassidy to hear today.
Sure. So first off, the event here today is part of a statewide effort for all the Indivisible chapters in the state of Louisiana are visiting Bill Cassidy's offices, all seven of them. Scratch that, I think Alexandria went yesterday. But hundreds of people are visiting Bill Cassidy's local offices, some for the very first time that I'm hearing. So the point of today's visit is to remind Senator Cassidy that he is a doctor first, and that he promised us, every time he's been talking about this bill, he's promised us that he would, you know, do what's right. He's a doctor. He would, you know, watch out for, you know, Louisiana, and make sure that whatever plan he did vote yes on would reduce premiums and increase coverage. As a doctor, he first promised, a Hippocratic oath, promised first do no harm. And so we're here to remind him that he first promised to do no harm.
Can you tell us how Indivisible got started and what your overall objectives are and how our listeners might be able to participate with you moving forward?
Sure. So Indivisible, the national movement, got started when two former congressional staffers were feeling very despondent after the inauguration, I think it was. It was either the election or the inauguration. Got drunk and had put together a Google document about, I don't know if they put together the document drunk.
Was it on a cocktail napkin?
It was kind of, it's the modern cocktail napkin, which is a Google Doc. They just put together some thoughts on how the Tea Party successfully resisted the first go-round, 2010 health care initiative. They were front and center. Ezra Levin and Leah Greenberg were front and center, and they saw how this worked to great success. So they put down some ideas. That blew up, you know, got shared millions and millions of times, this humble little Google document. And so the Indivisible chapter, or the Indivisible movement started with just a few chapters, and now it has grown to 6,000 chapters. That's 13 chapters per congressional district. Metairie Indivisible got started shortly after the inauguration. I didn't know anyone in town. I was new to town, relatively. I had made.
Where are you from?
Well, I came from New York, and I'm originally from Virginia. So.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of all over the eastern.
Right.
Eastern
where Europe, all the action is.
So I had moved here about a year prior. I didn't really know anybody to even invite to the Facebook group, but I knew that I had to do something. So from, you know, just one or two people who found me off of the Indivisible website, here we are. We've now got 500 people in Metairie Indivisible and growing every day.
Wow, so. Congratulations. That's an amazing growth.
Well, it's everybody here. You know, it's not me. So.
You're doing better than the economy with the growth.
Well, you wouldn't believe it if you listened to Trump. Everything's on a upswing. We're finally getting started again.
And yeah, the economy's good, but workers not so much.
Right. Right? Yeah.
Right. We were talking a little bit earlier about process. Mm-hmm. Senator Cassidy said that he wouldn't vote for a bill that he hadn't read. Now he's read the bill, or will read the bill. Do you have any thoughts about the process moving forward? He also said he doesn't like the process. What should the process be in terms of this bill moving forward?
Well, I can appreciate that he doesn't like the process. At the same time, he had the power to change the process. You know, if only two or three senators had stepped up and said, you know, we're not going to do this behind closed doors, then Mitch McConnell would not have been able to do it behind closed doors. So, yeah, I mean, I can appreciate where he's coming from, but I'm not so sure I totally buy it. As far as the process going forward is, I mean, it's kind of obvious that Mitch McConnell and his cronies are trying to shove this through as fast as they possibly can so that there won't be any sunlight on this bill. They're going to bully and strong arm everybody into getting the 50 votes that they need. So it's not a sure thing, though. Bill Cassidy is a fairly moderate senator. He has come out saying that he would not vote for any bill that would increase premiums and lower, you know, lower coverage. And that's exactly what this bill does. So
we've seen this kind of process before, or lack of process, with President Obama trying to fast-track the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And there was, it looked like it was going to pass, and there was extreme resistance. And I remember doing this similar thing at Cedric Richmond's office, who was getting a lot of pressure from the White House, and he was one of the swing votes. And because of the amazing outpouring of opposition, he ended up voting against the bill, despite the president's incentives. Yes, he was getting very juicy incentives from the president. And so, you know, the public react, and legislators hear from constituents, especially when they tell their own personal stories. Do you think that can have an impact at this point?
Oh, constituent feedback? Absolutely it can have an impact. I know that I've been told from Cassidy's staffers themselves have told me that the fact that we are out here every week, we are calling every single day, this is in large part why Bill Cassidy has been coming out as moderate as he has. You know, when this all first started, right after the inauguration, he was kind of toeing the party line, and he's become more and more moderate of a voice as time has gone on. Now, it's going to require us to keep putting the pressure on him to actually get him to, you know, to do something to vote against this. Will he, in the end, vote against this bill? I don't know. Only he knows.
Right.
But all we can do is what we can do.
Thank you for your comments. Can you let our listeners know how they can keep in touch with you, how they can find out about actions that you're doing, and who to contact if they want to reach out?
Sure. So we have a Facebook group under the name Metairie Indivisible. We also have a mailing list. If you're interested in being added to that mailing list, just send an email to metairieindivisible@gmail.com. That's all one word, metairieindivisible. We are also out here at Senator Cassidy's Metairie office every Tuesday at noon, noon to 12:30, 12:45, doing something similar to what we are right now. We also get a chance to chat with Senator Cassidy's staff. They always have somebody on call to kind of answer and to our concerns and write them down and pass them along to the senator. You can also follow us at Twitter at Metairie Indivisible.
We'll post it on our website or on our Facebook page and Tumblr as well, for our listeners if they want to revisit this interview and find out more information about y'all. Thank you so much, Laura. We appreciate your comments and all of the efforts that you're doing down here in Metairie.
Great. Thank you so much, and thank you for the opportunity to chat with you today.
Okay, we're here at the healthcare rally put on by Indivisible, and I'm here speaking with some folks that came out to protest. Can you tell me why you are here today and what you'd like to see in the AHCA?
Well, I'm here today because I've had cancer twice, and I'm fortunate enough to have employee-based healthcare, but I know many people who have the exact same condition that I had, which was breast cancer, have died or had much more traumatic, severe treatment and bad side effects because of having to delay their treatment. So I'm here to say healthcare for all, and it's very important to me. What kind of country are we if we don't provide healthcare for everybody?
Thank you so much.
My name is Ann Babson.
Hi, Ann. So I'm here with WTUL New Orleans interviewing people about why they came out to protest today.
Yes.
And what message they'd like to deliver to Bill Cassidy. And also if you have a personal story you'd like to tell our listeners.
I do have a personal story. The first person I met on my college campus when I was a teenager was a guy named Chris, who had a career for years as an independent contractor, and thank God for the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare, which allowed him to buy insurance because he's been battling cancer which is now returned. And with this pre-existing condition, or if he is put in a high-risk pool for people with pre-existing conditions, it is not a joke. He is very likely to die of a treatable cancer. And I am here not just thinking of him, but for the millions of people that I don't know, the more than 20 million people who are very likely to lose access to good health care that they desperately need. It's clearly about giving the richest people in America a tax break at the expense of the sick, the poor, and the middle class that this Congress has decided to have this secretive bill process with, and we wonder who it is who even authored it. Was it the lobby itself? Because the Republicans who allegedly were on the committee to write the bill in the Senate were not allowed to offer even the slightest comma or semicolon to this bill. So who wrote this dang thing that wants to make millions of people in this country lose their health care? I want to know that, but beyond that, I just want us to not hurt anybody.
Thank you. Thank you so much for telling your story and sharing the reason you're here today.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it.
Well, my name's Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Yeah. And the reason I'm here today is because the Senate just released its reconciliation bill, and it was supposed to be a more moderate bill, but really it barely changes anything.
A little windy out here catching the tail end of hurricane or of Tropical Storm Sandy, but and what a great turnout considering the weather.
Yes.
But go on with your story. Do you have a personal story you'd like to share with our listeners?
A personal story. Well, I'm just a little nervous because, you know, even though I'm under 26, I can't be on my parents' insurance because they're on Medicare. They're old enough to be on Medicare, which I'm very grateful and happy about because my mother previously had cancer, so if she couldn't get Medicare, she'd have a pre-existing condition. And so now I'm going to be a little nervous. Am I going to be able to afford health insurance? I was hoping that I would be able to qualify for Medicaid. I'm going to be a student next year. I'm not going to be making very much money. So I was hoping to qualify, but now it's really just unclear what the situation will be. And my roommate, she's in medical school. She's training to be an ER doctor. So she's going to be a doctor who's saving lives on a daily basis. And she's on Medicaid. You know, she can't afford private insurance while she's in medical school. She's taking on tens of thousands of dollars in student debt. So if Medicaid is cut, people like her, who are going to be training to be doctors and save lives, are themselves not going to be able to afford health care.
Right. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today.
I just came from inside. Wade and Kathy, who are Bill Cassidy's local staffers, two of the three staffers who work here, they are in the lobby and they would love to meet with you. Yes, they would love to hear what you have to say about First Do No Harm and the Senate health care bill. The only caveat is that we ask that you go in two by two. This is how they have been doing it for months now with us at Metairie Indivisible. It's not an ideal system, but it works. So just two by two, we've already sent in two people. Leave your signs here and tell them what you think. The good thing is, if you tell them, they have to write it down. They have to log it. They have to bring it to the senator. It's not like a fax or an email where you don't know if it's going through or if it's not or what. No, they have to bring it to the senator. So we want to get as many people through that door as we can today, because my head count is now over 60 people. That would be 60 people on the record saying, we don't want this. So going.
Hi, my name is Janice. I'm with WTUL News and Views. Can you tell us, our listeners, why you came out today to protest the AHCA and what you would like Bill Cassidy to know?
I feel that the AHCA is unfair to most Americans, and I feel that Senator Cassidy needs to represent his constituents and reject this this bill as it's written.
Thank you for your comments. Do you have a personal story you'd like to share?
No, I don't.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How about you?
I'm out here because I am really concerned about the secrecy of the crafting of this bill. And I also am really concerned about the most vulnerable in our population getting health, adequate health care. And so I feel like that's the only way to kind of build a civil society.
Thank you. Do you have a personal story you'd like to share?
I really don't. I don't have Obamacare because I'm fortunate enough to be covered under my employer.
But you're out here anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's important.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much for your comment.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to share with our listeners why you're out here protesting today and if you have a personal story you'd like to share?
Yeah, I'm happy to. I'm protesting because I think health care is probably the most precious thing we have right now. And declaring war on health care is kind of like declaring war on a country. More people will die as a result of a bad plan. Secondly, I've lived in under universal health care in Canada with two different provinces. And it works. And I know what it works. And one of the best things about it is that nobody's scared. Nobody is afraid that they're going to be cut off from hospitalization or they can't see a doctor. Ultimately, it's more proactive so people don't get sick. But when they do get sick, they know they can get help. And I feel this is a terribly important issue. There are a lot of issues that I'm very upset about. This is probably in my top three.
Do you think Bill Cassidy will vote the right way?
I'm terrified he won't.
Thank you for your comments today.
Surely.
Can you tell our listeners why you're out here protesting today and if you have a personal story you'd like to share?
Sure. I'm out here to state that I'm against this bill. We just kind of got the details of it, and one of the things that we do know about it for sure is that it does do away with the Medicaid expansion. And I'm lucky enough that I have health care through my employer, but I have a very close friend who has a disease that requires very expensive physical therapy. And it's so expensive. She can't afford it. She's on a fixed income. She spent her whole life teaching children with disabilities, and now she's on disability. And she has a very fixed income. Her family isn't rich. There's nobody. I certainly don't have enough money to help her out because it's just it's such an expensive procedure that she has to have done every couple of weeks. She has to go through this physical therapy, and if she doesn't do it, she'll be dead within a few months. And without Medicaid expansion, she won't be able to afford it. So basically, it comes down to the death of a very good friend of mine and trying to prevent that. So it's pretty important to me to make sure that this bill doesn't get passed.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. I am here with Sandy Rosenthal, who came out to protest the American Health Care Act this morning. Sandy, can you tell us why you came out and if you have a personal story you'd like to share?
The reason I'm here is because what I'm most angry about regarding health care is the high expense for everybody. I mean, nobody has inexpensive health care, nobody. And it's true all across of America that we're way overpaying. I personally have done a little travel, and I have found out that the health care here is like 10,000% higher than it ought to be. There's no reason it should be this expensive. So, but however, the only way to get to lower the prices and make the prices more affordable is with something like President Obama's Affordable Care Act. That was just the beginning. That didn't make the the cost of insurance drop overnight, but you have to have that first, and then the reforms come with the pharmaceutical companies and with the doctors, and then you move on to the next form. The Trump care is putting us a step backward again, and which the high, again, for me, the high price of health insurance is reprehensible. It should not be going on, and what they say is the planet's greatest country. I was in Thailand a few years ago, and I got very ill while I was there, and I had to be brought to the hospital. And the doctor's bill was $2. The hospital bill was $1.50. The most expensive thing was the medicine, which was actually $6, and it was only Tylenol. And this is perfectly good health care. So, again, something is wrong with the healthcare system in America, and we've got to change it, and Trump care is not the way to do that.
Yeah, full disclosure, I'm actually Canadian, so I grew up under a single-payer system of health care, and I actually really liked it. And interestingly, the tax bracket in Canada and the U.S. is very similar, mm-hmm. yet the United States paid three times more in health care costs than Canada, yet the tax bracket is the same. So that idea that we have to raise taxes just isn't so. What we could do is eliminate private insurance companies and use those savings to invest in better health care for all rather than some health care for those who can afford it and, you know, leave the scraps for the rest. Thank you for your comments today.
You're very welcome.